join me today as we explore practical tips and playful insights for keeping track of life's adventures while embracing the whimsical world of memory lapses. From memory boosting strategies to organizational hacks, this episode is your go-to guide for thriving in midlife and beyond. Live, learn, and rediscover the joy of living fully present in the moment. In our mixtape series, this one is called Don't You Forget About Me. Welcome to Life Repurposed. This is where midlife meets inspiration, practical guidance, and renewed purpose amid life's evolving chapters. We navigate faith questions and messy, uncertain twists with humor and a commitment to pursue treasure, even in the hard stuff. I'm your host, Michelle Rayburn, the author of books and Bible studies about finding hope in the trashy stuff of life. When you have a lot going on, it becomes more difficult to remember things. Have you had a startling moment when you've had proof that you did something, but you have no recollection of doing it or saying it? My husband showed me a text message once, and I had no recollection of saying that thing. So I don't think I was sleepwalking either. I just had forgotten that I told him that. It's difficult to acknowledge it when this happens to us. And sometimes people are just a little bit too polite to point it out. And other times people get really impatient with us and say, I told you that already. When the perimenopause stuff started, I realized just what brain fog is. And this midlife time is a curious blend of reminiscing about the past and pondering the future. It's a time when we think nostalgically about our youth, and then we also think about what lies ahead. And frankly, it can be a time of denial. Everyone else has the problem, not me. When I started midlife, and I still am in midlife, I was working a pretty high-paced job, and so it was really hard for me if I had moments where I didn't remember something, or I was just really struggling to get the word to come forward or a name. After all, this is a time of life where we're feeling really vibrant. You might actually be the most energized ever right now. When I got out of the phase where there were small children in my home, I had a whole lot of energy. And as we moved out of high school and the kids left home, I definitely had a lot of energy and I had great memory. And then it started. Those little things, you know, like from forgetting where I left my glasses, which were ironically on top of my head, first place I look now, to drawing a blank in mid-sentence in a conversation and not having any idea what words I was about to say or where I was going with it. It can be pretty easy to chuckle at these quirks in our memory loss, you know, the little brief things at this stage in life. But who hasn't walked into a room at any stage in life and wondered why you were there? Or maybe you struggled to recall the name of someone you've known for years. It's just that as we edge into the midlife phase, these things seem to be more pronounced. Maybe it's because they're happening more often, or maybe it's just because we're so terrified of forgetting anything because somehow forgetting something is going to be proof that I'm going to lose all of my memory. I've had to go back upstairs to try to trigger a memory of what I was going downstairs to get. I've played the alphabet game in my head trying to remember someone's name. You know how you go through A, B, C? No, it didn't start with any of those letters. And then you get to the end of the alphabet and you have to go all over and start again. One day at the grocery store, I couldn't remember my own phone number to unlock the coupon codes on my membership account, and the young guy at the checkout just stared at me because he was asking me to punch in my phone number, and I couldn't remember it. I've opened my smartphone to make a call, only to realize I'm actually typing the numbers into the calculator function. Nope, that does not work for making a phone call. I have added an AirTag to my purse and another one to my husband's keys because we both have things that we set in places and then we wonder where was the last time I saw that. Now, despite having a lot of denial because I'm a normal human, I also know that these strange lapses are normal too. So if you're starting to experience forgetfulness, sometimes it's just because you're so overwhelmed. I had a certain amount of that when my children were really small and I was Actually, in between having my first baby and the second, I went back to working as a nurse for a little while, not full time, but just on call. And I just remember being so sleep deprived and then coming home and not being able to sleep because I was afraid I had forgotten something important at work. And so we do have those phases where our brains are completely overwhelmed. So that's a whole other thing. But we're talking about what happens in midlife when we start to have some little lapses. And amid chuckling about it, there's also this sense of yearning, this desire to make every memory count and to find new purpose in the midst of forgetfulness, because in reality, we all know people who have had true memory loss. And it is not something to joke about when somebody moves into having something like Alzheimer's or a different form of memory loss. And so I don't want to move into something super depressing right now, but that is the reality that we face. We know people who started to exhibit signs of true forgetfulness in their 40s, in their very early 40s. And so as we think about this today, we're thinking about how can we look at it through the lenses of understanding there's a true reality out there, but not to live with this total paranoia about every little memory lapse, thinking that this is a clinical diagnosis. We need to find a place in between somewhere so that we can enjoy life yet. So this week's midlife mixtape track is titled "Don't You Forget About Me." Remember, they're all based on either a parody of or a literal title of an 80s song. And so I'm using that just because I'm a product of the 80s. I graduated from high school in the 80s. And, you know, that stuff is still pretty popular right now. So today's episode mixtape number is "Don't You Forget About Me." Now, I want to start with the more nostalgic aspect of memory, and then we'll work towards some practical tips. And there's also, in case I forget to tell you at the end, there's also a worksheet that's going to go along with this episode. That is for the people who are paid subscribers through Substack. You'll hear about that at the end. But if you're curious right now, just make a note. Remember that it is liferepurposed.me. All right, now let's think about the years right after you graduated from high school or college. Once they played that track of the pop songs and they did the slideshow, you know how they do that. They have all these clips of the songs that everybody danced to at the school dances and everything. And then they do the slideshow, and in our school district where my kids graduated, the class sizes are actually like in the low 20s. Yes, like 20 students, 20 to 25 students. So they will show their baby picture and they'll show their high school picture. And then they have all these memories of some of these kids have been friends forever and ever. So they show memories of growing up together. My high school had 535 people graduating together. So we didn't have any of that. We didn't have a slideshow with all of our photos. We just had kind of a general couple shots from the yearbook kind of a thing. But my husband's school had this really cool 80s soundtrack with pop songs, and they played through that. I don't know why I just got off on that tangent on you. I meant to just touch on that briefly. Okay. So once you've played that slideshow and you've reminisced and you've taken your yearbook home and you've tossed it in a stack somewhere and you move forward, you might forget about what has happened in high school. You're moving forward. You are looking forward to the future. I only get my yearbook out now when I can't remember someone's name from the past. But a few years go by after high school, and then we do get to a place where we start pondering and we think about what we want to do next. We think about how far we've come, and then we think about what's on our bucket list. Only it isn't quite a bucket list yet, because that's like the, you know, what we want to do before we kick the bucket. It's more like a live it up list. This is related to living life to the fullest, with this idea of making the most of your time before getting to this certain age milestone, like seizing the day and embracing new experiences before you're over the hill. So as we think about a live it up list, we're thinking, well, what do I want out of life? And suddenly the numbers 40 loom on the calendar as you're thinking ahead and doing the math, because that's how I do my age now. I have to think about the year I was born and I have to do the math. And you start needing cheater readers, because you're holding the book out really far. And tip, if you're finding your arms are far, far too short, then it's time to head over to CVS and get that $10 pair of magnifying readers. So midlife is this natural time for reflection. We realized we're not in high school anymore, we're not in college anymore, but there's a lot of life left to live. I want you to take a moment to look back on your life thus far and celebrate your accomplishments, no matter how big or small. Reflect on the lessons you've learned and the experiences that have shaped you into the person you are today. By acknowledging your past, you can gain insight into what truly matters to you and where you want to focus your energy moving forward. This becomes an opportunity to reignite your sense of purpose and to seek out new experiences, whether it's traveling to a destination you've always dreamed of, picking up a new hobby, volunteering for a cause you're passionate about, stepping outside of your comfort zone. These things can invigorate your mind and spirit because you're doing something that pushes you a little bit. Embracing the unfamiliar and allowing yourself to be inspired by the possibilities that lie ahead are really good for us as we think about what we want out of life. So if you're considering your purpose and you're thinking about goals, whether it's pursuing a new career path, improving your health and wellness, or deepening your connections with loved ones, any of these might set you to thinking and reevaluating, and you might get a little bit restless. Last week in that episode, I talked about thinking about a midlife crossroads instead of a midlife crisis. And so that's the place you're at if you're in that midlife phase and you're evaluating all of these. But that restlessness comes because we're just sometimes unsure, like, what should I do next? When my youngest son was in college, I started thinking about what I wanted to do next. Now, I had my kids at age 23 and 25, so I've said on the podcast before that I really feel like midlife started fairly early for me because my kids were in college and I was like, let's see if I do the math. I think I was like early 40s when my kids were both in college. And once we got to this place where the child tax credit and deductions for dependents dried up, I had to think seriously about some next steps. Life was different with kids in college and our expenses changed. And like I said, we didn't get tax refunds anymore. So I took a job that involved a commute and I worked in a field that had some things that really stressed me a lot. But it also provided growth. When I stretch, I grow. It's kind of like how muscles work. There were new experiences, new skills, and new confidence that came with that. It reminded me that despite my struggle with some mild forgetfulness and the hormone brain fog and all those things that were coming along with that phase of my life, I still have a lot to contribute. I did need to beef up my skills and find some new ways to cope again because every phase of life, there's new things we have to cope with. And for me, one of those was like, how do I cope with little tiny moments of forgetfulness and making sure I don't miss some of the important things? But this career change launched me into some of my best years of my life. I'm still there. So the story is still being written. I'm not in that career, but I'm still in those best years of my life that were the springboard that began when I started to say, what would I do that's different? Some of my friends are actually starting to think about retiring as it gets closer for them. I'm not even close to that right now. So I'm not thinking about retirement. I'm really thinking about that live it list, okay? So the changes that came along with my life during that phase also brought their own version of chaos. Remember how I said it stretched me? Well, amid the chaos of everyday life, it's easy to overlook the blessings that surround us. And so in the middle of that chaos, I had to really up the gratitude game and take time each day to reflect on the things I was thankful for. Because when I get overwhelmed, I go to the negative space. Not everyone does that. I just go into this, like, I feel like there's no hope. You know, like, I'm never going to learn this thing I need to learn, or this frustrating situation is never going to get better. And I found that gratitude was the thing I really needed to work on. And I didn't start a gratitude journal or do anything like that. Nothing real specific, other than I found that the commute time was a really great time for talking to God and letting Him know what I was thankful for. I hadn't really discovered podcasts yet. I didn't have audiobooks. My car had a CD player, so I just At first, I didn't have a way of playing any audio but the radio. So I was listening to Christian radio, I was listening to worship songs, singing along with those, and then sometimes I would just turn off the radio and have conversations with God. And so the gratitude conversations kind of went like thanking him for the warmth of the sun on my face after going for a walk after work. I'd put my tennis shoes on and walk before I went home because it would be dark out when I got home. I thank him for the beautiful sunset on the way home, or the simple pleasures of a delicious iced coffee that I picked up to have in the car on the way home, or my husband waiting for me at home and knowing that he was making dinner that night. Expressing gratitude shifted my perspective and brought joy. There's a psalm that I love. I love all the psalms, but there's one, Psalm 103 by King David, where the first couple of verses say this: "Let all that I am praise the Lord with my whole heart. I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles." The Bible is full of reminders. These are reminders that tell us to remember and not forget what God has done. This is the kind of remembering we can do daily. And it's very important to dealing with a lot of the things that come up in midlife, is that as we navigate those twists and turns, we realize we don't have to be defined by the changes that aging brings. And despite some forgetfulness, we have a capacity for growth, resilience, and newfound purpose. And so for me, focusing on God and his goodness and praising him and remembering the things he has done is a big part of that. It also never hurts to laugh at yourself. So there's some comedy in forgetfulness. So go ahead and laugh at life's absurdities. Tell a friend about the silly thing you just did. Don't try to hide it, because we all have these things. So your midlife may or may not bring its fair share of memory mishaps, but it also offers the chance to rediscover ourselves. We can forge new connections and pursue our passions with renewed energy. We can navigate this vibrant stage of life with grace, resilience, and a sense of adventure. After all, the best memories are yet to be made, and the journey is just beginning. So now that we've established the nostalgic side of this, let's look at some tips for remembering. Amid the laughter, there's a hint of frustration. It's not always easy to brush off forgetting important appointments or misplacing essential items. And that's why it's crucial to adopt some practical strategies to navigate the maze of forgetfulness. So I want to give you some tips based on some things that have worked for me. And I hope that you will just kind of look through this list. And that's where the bonus worksheet comes into. It helps you kind of process through some next steps and some action steps too. But let's look at some ways that you can utilize the tools that you have to improve your memory and to set yourself up for success. So the first one for me is embrace the power of your smartphone. If you've been resistant and you say, I'm a paper person, I don't care if you want a paper calendar. I don't care actually if you do it your way, because it's your life. No matter what you do, it's your life. So if I sound really forceful or bossy here, just write that off, because I'm just giving you suggestions based on what I've tried. So I have actually ditched the paper calendar, but if you love it, it's yours to keep. But I have ditched the paper to-do list. And I would encourage you to embrace your smartphone for some different reasons. First, because I have my phone and my computer linked when I'm sitting working at my computer or doing something, I can take a note and it will show up on my phone and I can just pick it up and continue when I'm on the phone. And so when I'm using lists on the phone, it's just so helpful, because I have this digital source that goes wherever I go. And whether it's a to-do list or a grocery list or a list of upcoming appointments, which I generally put in the calendar, but if you keep those on a list, jotting things down can help declutter your mind and ensure that nothing slips through the cracks. And when you have it down somewhere, then you feel like, okay, good, I don't have to keep worrying about forgetting it. But then where did I put it? And that was the issue. Post-it notes fall behind the refrigerator and all kinds of crazy things. And so if I'm diligent about taking notes in my phone, then I can remember things later. So it might be someone's name, because I want to remember their first name and last name later after they walk away. I've done this at church. It might be something I need to do. And it might be some brainstorming. And in my phone, those lists can have names. And so they don't have to be in one massive list. There's little categories for them. And when I do a grocery list, I do the one with the little check dots. And so when I'm at the store shopping, I can just boop, boop next to the little things and check off that I got those things. Now, the other thing I do with the notes and the calendar in my smartphone is I create reminders with alarms that go off. So sometimes I need to have an alarm that goes off the day before just to remind me something's coming up. And sometimes it's the hour before. So I actually will set one before a Zoom call, before a phone call, before I have to leave the house for an appointment. I will do these little alarms that go off in the calendar or in my phone. They startle me when they go off, but it's great because I could get going on something and really lose track and then miss something. So I told you I've ditched the paper lists mostly because they make a lot of clutter. And the beautiful thing about having digital lists in my phone is that they're searchable. So if I'm looking for a specific word, and I know it's on a list, I can search it and find it. So that makes it so much more helpful than searching through a bunch of little pieces of paper. So I told you that I use the calendar and use the reminders in there as well. And I set up reminders for upcoming tasks, meetings, deadlines. I synchronize the calendar with other devices so that the calendar is always up to date on my computer and my phone. And I've even used those alarms for medications, praying for a friend. So if somebody tells me they're having surgery at a certain time, I will put an alarm in my phone so I remember to pray for them at that time. If I'm on an antibiotic for 10 days, I will put the morning and evening dose into alarms in my phone so that I remember to take those. Those are some of the ways I use it. Here are some other ways that you can use your smartphone. Some of them I use, some of them I don't. So you can do voice memos when you're out and about. I can actually speak to my phone and just tell it while I'm driving, take a note and remember this thought. I'm not going to say it right now or my phone will open while I'm talking. But this can be helpful if you're on the go and you don't have time to type. Some people use location-based reminders. This is where they take advantage of getting an alert when they arrive at a specific location and it reminds them to pick up items when they get to that place. I have not done that, but if you use that in combo with your location, you can do that. I do use my electronic devices, my phone, for password management. And I'm not talking about leaving a list in the phone. I'm talking about using the encrypted vault that comes with it for keeping those passwords. You do not have to keep them all in a little notebook where you can't remember which password goes to which. And you do not need to keep them on slips of paper next to your computer. You can keep them in whether you have a Android phone or an Apple one. I happen to use the Apple one, which is called a keychain, and it is a safe and encrypted way of keeping your passwords. There are also apps on your phone for keeping track of health habits. If you like to monitor those things, exercise, sleep, nutrition, medications, if you're on something that is really crucial for you to remember, you have a place in the health habits there on your phone. There are some other things you can do with your smart device that will help with managing some remembering things as well. Your smartphone's camera can be a digital document scanner. And so if you have receipts and documents and notes and you don't want to be trying to find the paper later, you can take photos of it and store those on your device. You can share with family and collaborate. So my husband and I actually have multiple calendars within the calendar. So if that makes sense, I have a work calendar, but I also have a family calendar and I share that one with my husband and we can both see what's on that one in our phones. That's very helpful because if I tell my husband we have something coming up, I can put it on a calendar where he can see it too. And that's a lot better than me having to tell him 100 times that we have this thing coming up. There are also mindfulness and relaxation apps. If you need to reduce stress and you need a reminder, you can set reminders on your phone to take a moment to breathe deep, one that reminds you it's time to stretch and get up, and ones that tell you it's time to go to bed. So that leads us into the next thing. So we just talked about what you can do with your smartphone and some of the features. Before we get into the next thing, I want you to have an open mind about this and be willing to try something new. Be willing to try your smartphone. It is not just for making phone calls. It is not just for scanning social media. It is also a really big tool that you're carrying around in your pocket. And for me, it has been very helpful in keeping track of things and helping me remember. Now, this links right into the idea of routines. So the second thing we're going to talk about is routines. Some people will say that consistency is a key in midlife. Establishing daily routines not only adds structure to your day, but it also helps reinforce memory. Whether it's setting a specific time for exercise, meal prep, relaxation, sticking to a routine, whatever you have in that routine, this can reduce the likelihood of forgetting important tasks or appointments if you have that routine. Now, establishing that can be both positive and negative, so we're going to explore both because you could probably give me an argument for either one. So first, let's look at why it can be beneficial to have a routine. First, it increases productivity. Having a routine helps you manage your time efficiently, and that leads to increased productivity. And this is because you have allocated time slots for tasks and activities. That means you can stay focused and accomplish more throughout the day. A well-established routine can also provide a sense of structure and predictability, which helps reduce the feelings of anxiety and stress. Knowing what to expect and having a plan in place can contribute to a greater sense of calm and control. Routines can also facilitate the establishment of healthy habits, such as regular exercise, balanced nutrition, adequate sleep, and stress management. By incorporating these into your daily routines, it can improve your overall health and well-being. Routines can help prioritize tasks and manage your time more effectively. By allocating specific time slots for different activities, such as work, family time, self-care, you can strike a better balance between these various responsibilities. Routines can also help us establish boundaries between work and personal life, which prevents burnout and promotes a work-life balance. By setting designated work hours and scheduling leisure activities, you might be able to create boundaries that allow you to recharge and unwind. Now, I said there are positive and negative. I just went over some of the positive things about having a routine, but when you try to convince me, I might say, I'm not so sure about that because a routine sounds a lot like being stuck in my ways and I'm not going to try anything new. If a routine is making you more and more resistant to trying new things, then you might want to rethink it. I have found that changing things up does keep my brain sharp. It's why I move things around in the house, which drives my husband nuts because I move things in the kitchen. I like to rearrange furniture. And so let's go over some of the things that can be negative if we get too stuck in our routines. First, following the same routine day in and day out can lead to feelings of monotony and boredom. You might find yourself stuck in a rut, lacking excitement, and lacking variety in your life. Routines can be rigid. It can leave little room for spontaneity and unexpected opportunities, which means you're finding yourself saying no when there are social opportunities that come up. If you adhere strictly to your routines, you might miss out on some new experiences or have trouble adapting to changing circumstances. A strict routine can stifle creativity and innovation. You might become complacent and resistant to trying new things if you're focused on sticking to your established schedule. And over-reliance on routines can make us resistant to change. You may struggle to adapt to new situations or embrace new opportunities if you disrupt your established routines. Use your grumpiness meter to gauge how you feel about that. I find that I get kind of grumpy sometimes when people are disrupting me a little bit, and that's actually a good sign that I probably should be interrupted more, because if I'm finding myself more and more grumpy about getting out of my routine, then I'm a little stuck in it. So routines can be a benefit and a bother. And finding a balance between structure and spontaneity is the key to maximizing the benefits of routines while minimizing their drawbacks. Now, let's talk about organization for the third thing. I mentioned having AirTags for some of our things. Let's talk about what do we do if we can't find stuff. Now, a lot of this is because we set things down and we don't remember where they are. But that memory has a hard time firing if things aren't always in the same place or if there's so much clutter that it's impossible to find that stuff and so we can't even trigger the memory. So our first order of business is to stay organized. This is going to be your first line of defense. Clutter can be the enemy of memory. Keeping your living and workspaces organized, it minimizes the distractions, which if you're the least bit ADD and you're forgetful, that's really quite the combo. So if you can have some organization to your space, then it reduces those chances of misplacing things. Designating specific areas for commonly used items like keys, wallets, phones, and then we need to make a habit to return them to the designated spots. And this is the thing. It takes a step to return things to where they belong, but this is where routines work in your favor. We talked about digital organization a little bit ago here, so let's talk about time. One of the things I do is I block time. I've dedicated time during the day. I use that digital calendar to slide some blocks of time around. And this is like not only for work, it's leisure time, exercise, errands, and other priorities. And it really helps me to remove some of the clutter from how I manage my time. It makes me more efficient. And this is how I get a lot done. I'm more productive now than any time in my life. I don't take a lot of spontaneous calls. I try to stay focused on tasks. And speaking of tasks, identify your top priorities and focus your time and energy on tasks that align with your goals and values. If you tackle the high priority tasks first, then you maximize your productivity and your efficiency. This is hard to do when there's a lot of things going on, and I have flexibility. I have to remember to do that. There are some days where I babysit my grandkids or I go somewhere with a friend. I'm not that rigid. I just have pretty good boundaries about how I block out my time because that's how I get stuff done. Now, one of the things with clutter is that you have to take time to declutter your physical and digital spaces on a regular basis. This means purging items you no longer need or use, organizing your belongings in designated storage areas, and not just shuffling things around, but really organizing them, and establishing systems for managing items that you have, whether that's things you already own or when you get something new, like where do I put the groceries after I shop? Decluttering helps to reduce the visual and mental clutter, which makes it easier to stay focused and stay organized. For me, I have to declutter my office every day before I start my work. I really don't do well with a lot of stuff piled on my desk. It's like it just adds to the mental clutter. And it's not like an OCD thing or anything like that. I just have to keep it picked up. The other thing that I've been doing is really slowly going through the house, and I need to do it again. I need to keep doing it because I don't want our kids to have to sort through a lot of junk someday, and we have way more than we need. My husband and I have lived in the same place for 18 years. I've never lived anywhere that long in my life. I've not had the advantage of moving where you have to sort through some things. So I would like to declutter now so that downsizing someday won't be so difficult. So whether it's us having to pack it all up in a moving van or our kids having to go through it someday in the future when we're gone, I want to clean that all up now and not keep things we don't need. When you keep your space, your kitchen space, your office space, your garage space, whatever, wherever it is you like to spend your time, your craft room, when you keep that clean and organized and clutter-free, it promotes your productivity, it promotes your focus, your inspiration. And so you're going to have to find your own system because I could tell you a whole system and everyone has their own way of doing that. But that clear workspace is really going to help you a lot. The other thing that I do is I have systems and processes for things like where do the bills go after we pay them? Where do we keep the things we need for taxes? I have routines and templates that I use, checklists for the work that I do, and I just pop that up on my task list and I just work right through that list. Those systems are really my key to productivity, and it also is like a security net because I know that's coming on that checklist and I don't have to worry about, did I forget that? Oh, it's not checked off yet. I still have to do that. The last thing under this one is that sometimes we have to delegate and outsource a little bit. There are things that my husband and I did DIY for a long time, and we're outsourcing a few of those things. Like one of them is my husband is perfectly capable of changing my oil. I mean, he knows how to change out a complete engine, but I've been getting it done at the dealer because my husband doesn't have to mess with it, doesn't have to clutter up his calendar. And I can go there with my laptop and get a little work done. And then they'll let me know if there's a recall or something like that. For a little while, I hired somebody to come in and clean the house for a little bit. I don't have anybody right now, but that was really helpful in a phase of life where I just wanted to walk out of my home office and have a clean house sometimes, because you know how that is. It's really nice to have your house all cleaned and you didn't have to do it. So I encourage you to look for where you need to delegate and outsource. We're at that place where we're trying not to ask our adult children to help us too much. We know that someday down the road that we might really need the help. So for right now, we're trying to figure out, you know, where can we delegate and outsource in ways that we can afford, and where can we cut corners so that we can afford that. Now, as you look at some of the things that you're doing when you're organizing, do take time to regularly review your progress. Look at your systems, look at the processes, see what's working, look at what can be improved. Give yourself a little feedback, kind of run through the way you're organizing things right now, and then make some adjustments as needed. Change it up if it isn't working for you. You don't have to do it just because somebody else does it that way. You get to come up with whatever strategies work for you. But the important thing is that these have to become habits. And when you can create habits and you have this structured and efficient approach to managing your time, your tasks, and your resources, it's going to lead to greater productivity, greater satisfaction, and greater success in both your personal and professional life. The last thing that I want to talk about today is looking at how we can stay active mentally. Now, engaging in mental exercises such as puzzles, crosswords, learning new skills, learning hobbies, it not only helps your mind stay active and engaged, but it also plays a significant role in improving your memory and cognitive function. When you challenge your brain with new information or tasks, you stimulate the growth of new neural connections and pathways, which strengthens your brain's ability to retain and retrieve information. It's like physical exercise and how it strengthens muscles and improves your cardiovascular health. Mental exercise enhances your cognitive ability and helps maintain your overall brain health. So when you engage in activities that require problem solving, critical thinking, and memory recall, you activate different regions of the brain. And this is crucial for forming and storing memories. For example, solving puzzles or playing memory games exercises your brain's ability to focus, concentrate, and remember information. And this leads to improvements in both your short-term and your long-term memory. I like doing word games daily, and so I do Wordle. I also play Connections because I really like the word ones. Some people like the numbers ones. My husband and I also like to play games like, here's where the memory thing comes. Okay, I had to pause and think about it. We like to play Blockus, which is a spatial shape kind of a game where you have to see if you can fill in as many places and use up as many of your pieces. We also have played a game called Patchwork, which is sort of similar to that, where you have to take pieces of odd shapes and put them on a board. This is a little different than the word games that I like to do. I also like to learn new hobbies and skills, and not necessarily ones that are going to break the budget, but just little things, trying something new. Maybe it's just for a day. It's not like starting a whole new hobby, but it's like going and doing a project somewhere, or attending a seminar or something like that. So whether it's learning to play a musical instrument, maybe you want to do something like that where it's really more intensive. Maybe you want to master a new language or try something creative like painting or photography, or maybe just attending a seminar and getting knowledge and skills. All of those things strengthen those neural connections and promotes that stretchiness of the brain, the brain's ability to reorganize and rewire itself in response to learning. Engaging in mentally stimulating activities has been shown to reduce the risk of cognitive decline and age-related memory loss. Research suggests that individuals who regularly challenge their brains with intellectually stimulating activities have a lower risk of developing dementia and Alzheimer's later in life. By maintaining an active and engaged mind, you can help preserve cognitive function and promote healthy aging. So keep your mind active and engaged. It's one of the best ways to invest in your long-term brain health. As you navigate the maze of remembering, don't forget to take a moment to pause, breathe, and savor the present. After all, memories are not just about remembering. They're about living fully in the moment and creating new experiences to cherish for years to come. In the grand symphony of life, forgetting a few notes doesn't mean the end of the melody. It simply adds a touch of improvisation to the tune. As we journey through this symphony, it's important to remember that vitality knows no age limit. While forgetfulness may occasionally steal the spotlight, it's just one part of the beautiful masterpiece of experiences that make up our lives. So friends, take heart and embrace the journey with gusto. Remember, you have countless years of vitality ahead, brimming with opportunities for growth, adventure, and new beginnings. Yes, there may be moments when you misplace your keys or you draw a blank on a name, but those moments are small ripples in the vast ocean of possibilities that lie before you. I encourage you to celebrate each day as a chance to create memories, pursue passions, and connect with the world around you. Whether you're mastering a new skill, embarking on a journey of self-discovery, or simply savoring the joy of being alive, remember that the best is yet to come. So laugh at all the quirks of memory, cherish each moment, and revel in the boundless potential that awaits you. After all, forgetfulness may be part of the journey, but it's certainly not the destination. So march to the beat of your own drum, dance to the rhythm of life, and embrace the symphony of possibilities that awaits. The stage is set, the spotlight is yours, so go ahead, let your light shine bright. You have plenty of vitality left to illuminate the world. Just a reminder, there's a worksheet for this episode for the monthly subscribers for Life Repurposed. You'll find that at liferepurposed.me on Substack. Once you pay to subscribe, you have access to all the bonus content, anything I've created in the past, and the things I continue to create. This time, it's a memory boost worksheet with some ideas for setting some goals and action steps, so I hope you enjoy that. Thank you so much for those who are paid subscribers. It really helps with supporting the production of not only this podcast, but the written content that goes out regularly on Substack. Thank you so much for being here today. I hope you have a great week, and I will see you next week. Thanks for listening to Life Repurposed. Would you like more? Check out the Life Repurposed magazine on Substack and get resources, weekly musings, and conversations with others. Just go to liferepurposed.me.